This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
From the world of climate suicide, major announcements of new oil and gas discoveries appear almost daily. Iran says they found another 50 billion barrels. Canada's expanding delivery, along with Brazil, Russia, and many more. But one country alone promises to drown the world with oil and gas in this decade, the United States of America. The bad news comes from analysis by a respected Norwegian firm. It is reported by the international nonprofit group Global Witness, and it matches all the figures coming from the UN's International Energy Agency, from the American Energy Information Administration, and press releases handed out by major oil and gas corporations. Is this climate nightmare real? We have reached Julianne Miranda Brobeck. She is U.S. Communications Manager for Global Witness. From Washington, D.C., Julianne, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for having us on your show.
Well, I thought Global Witness was more of a human rights group getting real information out of difficult places. How did this report on growing fossil fuel supplies come about?
So Global Witness has been investigating corruption, human rights, and environmental abuses for the past 25 years. And we have campaigned tirelessly and endlessly to end both environmental and human rights abuses driven by the exploitation of natural resources. So in the face of this escalating climate crisis, it was only natural progression for us to start looking at how the exploitation of oil and gas is driving unprecedented environmental devastation around the world.
And your group's report is titled, The U.S. is Set to Drown the World with Oil. It was released last summer, and this is not about some time in the distant future, but the coming decade from 2020 to 2029. And this report is only about new production. I thought we were sort of doomed to warming well beyond 2 degrees C if we burn the fossil fuels we already have. What do you think?
The report title that you just mentioned does sound a bit hyperbolic, but it's actually very accurate. And in terms of current oil production, the short answer to your question is no. So that is if you're looking at fossil fuel projects that are already producing, they are not expected to put us beyond the 2 degrees warming Celsius. The issue is actually a lot more complex than that, and there are many factors that contribute to warming, with fossil fuels, of course, being the biggest culprit. So our investigation and analysis is looking at current production in order to show a fuller picture. So our analysis assumes that current production over the next decade, as I mentioned, will not put us over 1.5 degrees warming, and that's the figure that we should really be looking at. Many speak about 2 degrees, but climate experts say that we should actually be aiming for 1.5 degrees. So our analysis assumes that current production over the next decade will not put us over the 1.5 degrees warming. And again, that is a figure that climate experts around the world are using instead of the 2 degrees, which would just be too much and put us way over climate catastrophe. So if we're looking at existing fields and if investments in these fields continue as is, we are not projected to go above the 1.5 degree warming. However, the real issue is new oil and gas production, which is what our report looks at. Any production from new oil and gas fields, which is what much of these fossil fuel companies are already counting on as part of their reserves, any new production will put us over this 1.5 degrees warming. And the biggest driver behind this new production is one country alone. It's the United States.
And talk to us about the disproportionate boom in the new American oil and gas production compared to other well-known fossil fuel suppliers.
Yeah, so this really is a story of the U.S. fracking boom following the development of new techniques in the 1990s that made it possible to reach previously inaccessible gas deposits buried deep under shale rock. And we're seeing this across the country as we speak. In our new report, we show how 61% of all new oil and gas in the world will come from the U.S. And to put this into perspective, that is 8 times more than Canada, who is projected to be the next largest producer, 20 times that of Russia, and 40 times that of Saudi Arabia. And those figures are all referencing production from new fields. Speaking in current terms, new U.S. production will be 2 times that of what Saudi Arabia is currently producing.
And so where is the new American oil and gas expected to come from? What parts of the country?
Quite interesting, but it may not come as a surprise. Texas is projected to be the biggest producer of new oil and gas, and this is especially due to new finds in the Permian Basin. Pennsylvania is the second largest U.S. new oil and gas producer. And in fact, if you compare new production across the world, and if you treat U.S. states as countries in this case, then 7 out of the top 10 new producers around the world would be U.S. states. And this is quite staggering and alarming. Some other stats that we have showed in our analysis is that Pennsylvania will be producing 2 times that of Russia, and 25% of all new production will come from one state alone, and that is Texas. Quite alarmingly, a lot of the effects of climate change, which will only be exacerbated by this new production, will disproportionately affect lower-income communities and communities of color. There was one study that came out showing that something like 90% of inhabitants living in a one mile radius of large oil and gas plants are communities of color. This means that they are most exposed to toxins in the air and any contaminants that leach into water supply, and it's just absolutely unacceptable.
You know, some energy experts question the whole scenario, but let's leave that for a moment. First, we need to know, where did your team get the production and reserve numbers in your report?
That's a great question. For our analysis, we used data from Rystad Energy, and you know, they're renowned and trusted industry analysts. And we compared this data against the latest climate scenarios presented in the IPCC report, so that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the world's leading authority on climate science. And their report came out at the end of last year.
Is it really possible that America will far surpass Saudi Arabia in production?
Yeah, in fact, that's already happened. Quite alarming. And that comparison with Saudi Arabia and the U.S. is quite an interesting one, especially right now, given everything that's happening on the world stage. And traditionally, Saudi Arabia has been one of the largest oil producers, with Russia also in the top three. But currently, the U.S. is actually on the top, making up 18% of production, according to some analyses. And, you know, our report alarmingly shows that the U.S. will skyrocket from this 18%. And, you know, with its new oil and gas production, they're set up to make up 61% of all new production in the next decade. And this is increasing overall production by 25%. And again, that's 20 times that of Russia and 40 times that of Saudi Arabia's new production.
The American government is a real booster of all this. The Energy Information Administration, the EIA, is famous for bullish predictions. But their outlook for coal production fell flat, and there were bankruptcies and insolvencies. And now Canadian geologist David Hughes is questioning the future of the whole fracking model. He says trillions in new investments still cannot maintain that kind of production, and his reality calls the EIA projections crazy. Do you expect the American boom of oil and gas production to really materialize over the next 10 years, or could be there other difficulties that we didn't foresee?
You know, most analysts acknowledge a U.S. shale bubble, and it's only a matter of time when it will burst, yet it keeps going. The question is, will that financial bubble burst in time to save us from this horrific climate catastrophe that we face?
And it sounds like the peak oil movement will have to go back to sleep for another 10 years. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, our analysis and that of others in the field clearly show that any new production is incompatible with the world's climate goals. Urgent action in the U.S. is needed to reverse this trajectory. The current administration has made its energy dominance agenda really clear. And in fact, in the past few months, President Trump made 2 appearances in Pennsylvania supporting the oil and gas industry there. It's a clear priority for him and his administration, and we really will need political will to curb any new U.S. oil and gas production, which, as our analysis shows, will just push us over the edge. Federal fossil fuel subsidies cost taxpayers at least $4.6 billion a year. And in fact, there's some analyses that show that this number could actually be $500 billion a year, which is just massive. And half of new U.S. oil fields rely on these government subsidies to be economically viable. This isn't sustainable at all. And this money could be invested elsewhere instead of contributing to reliance on fossil fuels and continuing to warm up our planet.
So, Julianne, Australia is currently the world's largest coal exporter, with even larger mega plans on their drawing boards for new mines. But your report doesn't cover coal?
You're right. So our report is mostly focused on oil and gas. And in our other investigative work and reporting, we've seen that coal is already dying off in many parts of the world as it's simply not economically viable and obviously heavily polluting. And while there's much more work to be done, the big fight looming is over the future of oil and gas, which is why this specific report is focusing on oil and gas.
Why did Global Witness call for the UK and Scotland to stop exploring for more fossil fuels? What is going on there?
So to avoid the worst of this climate catastrophe, we really can't afford to drill and burn any new oil and gas reserves, which means that countries need to stop exploring for more fossil fuels. The UK is a major fossil fuel extractor, and developed nations need to move first in ending fossil fuel production. We can't expect other nations to move if we aren't willing to move first. Quite a few countries have moved to end fossil fuel extraction in their territory already. You can just look at France, Costa Rica, New Zealand, and Belize, and more are on the way. As bigger and better extractors say they will end extraction, it creates a new global climate norm, and we do hope that other countries follow suit. Just as some background information on the UK, as we have several campaigners that are focusing on oil and gas in the UK. The UK has an estimated 5.7 billion barrels of oil and gas reserves in already operating fields. And if we extract those, we will not hit our Paris Climate Agreement quota. And the UK also has an estimated additional 20 billion barrels of oil and gas reserves in the UK strata. And the UK government has legislation which commits them to maximize the economic recovery of these assets, which means take it all out of the ground. But in order to achieve this, we're essentially subsidizing these oil and gas companies. And our analysis shows that in the last 2 out of the 3 years, the UK has paid out more in subsidies to oil and gas companies than they have paid in UK taxes. So therefore, taxpayer money is subsidizing climate change-causing energy sources and the companies that extract and ultimately profit from them. So Global Witness is calling for the UK to commit to a managed phasing out of fossil fuels and to shift subsidies from oil and gas to support a just transition focused on renewable energy and energy efficiency industries. So there's quite a lot of work ahead of us.
It's mind-blowing to think that the fossil fuel industry is really a kind of socialized, state-funded adventure when you get down to the bottom line of it.
Yes, that's very true. And it's also a huge issue here in the U.S., as I mentioned previously, estimates show that the fossil fuel industry is getting 4.9 to up to about 500 billion in these subsidies a year. And so they really, a lot of these projects just are not economically viable without these subsidies. I previously was referencing President Trump's trip to Pennsylvania earlier in August. He went to visit the Shell petrochemical plant. And we did some data crunching and analysis to show that just looking more closely at the subsidies that make that plant viable, Shell got a $1.65 billion tax break for that plant. And we have the president going there and, you know, touting these industry jobs that we're bringing back to the country. And if you look at this massive tax break, this $1.65 billion, and you break it down, it's just over $2 million per job created. So that's pretty costly for jobs. So there are estimated to be about 600 permanent jobs that will be created because of this plant, and each of them is backed up by $2 million in subsidies.
But you have to wonder, if the new forecasts for a glut of oil production become reality, won't oil and gas prices crash, thus cutting off or endangering further investment?
You know, to limit climate change, oil demand needs to fall dramatically. And that's both production and consumption need to fall in tandem. So this will really require a huge shift in global transportation, heating, and power generation. But, you know, work on this must start immediately.
This is EcoShock Radio. All environment, all the time. Get more info on the web at ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Our guest is Julianne Miranda Brobeck from Global Witness. And we asked the question, will America flood the world with new oil and gas and thus endanger the climate? And it is hard to imagine a market so flooded with oil and gas. Maybe we'll go back to 15 cents a gallon at the pumps. Everybody can drive SUVs or personal tanks or whatever. It sounds like great news for the consumer and the economy. What is the real problem?
One would think. So growing oil and gas production has enormous and immediate consequences on all of us and on our economy that really depends on a stable climate. We're already seeing a rise in natural disasters like wildfires, floods, hurricanes, all driven by climate change and worsened by climate change. And all of this has a human toll and a huge economic impact as well. And for this reason, the public is increasingly supporting transitioning to renewable energy and finding solutions to alleviate the climate crisis and its effects. Polls have shown that swing voters and conservatives want politicians to find solutions as they're becoming increasingly concerned about climate change. And that's something that was not the case even 4 years ago. So climate change is featuring prominently across the current presidential debates as well.
According to an article in the Guardian newspaper, the top 50 fossil fuel companies will dump another 225 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere by 2030, and about 35% of that comes from just two companies, ExxonMobil and Shell. And these companies plan to profit by creating an unstoppable climate disaster, it sounds like, and that's okay with politicians and everybody who drives a car, or maybe including me, I guess. It's so hard to see how we can unravel that.
Yes, I completely agree with that. It's incredibly alarming, and a lot of our investigative work also centers around those two companies as well.
Has anybody analyzed the amount of fossil fuels we can supposedly burn before we head into that climate meltdown and then compared that to the new resources these companies and countries are promising?
Yes, you know, that's the core of what our report looked at for oil and gas. And we can only burn the fossil fuels from the oil and gas projects that are currently in production if we're to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And even with 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming, this will have a huge and dramatic impact on human societies around the world. And above these impacts, they will become severe, widespread, and harder to predict. At the same time, these companies are planning to spend $5 trillion on producing new oil and gas that would drive us further and further above that level of climate impact. Another report that we put out earlier this year was looking at just the scale of that massive investment. So the number, the figure is, I said $5 trillion, it's actually $4.9 trillion, so almost at the $5 trillion mark. And the companies that are really pushing ahead with this kind of crazy investment are Exxon and Shell. They're the top two companies pushing ahead with this. Exxon's leading the pack.
And in the background of all that are the biggest banks and our own pension plans, which are often investing in oil and gas. And I'm hoping that the disinvestment movement where, for example, universities are saying they will no longer put their saved monies into oil and gas, maybe that can at least slow down this juggernaut. We'll see.
Exactly. And, you know, that movement is certainly gaining steam, and hopefully more investment firms and banks will actually sign on to this. And, you know, again, going back to that figure of the oil and gas industry investing $4.9 trillion into new oil and gas fields in the next decade, it's really also up to investors here to challenge these companies to ensure that their business plans are compatible with the Paris Climate Agreement.
And on the other hand, right now, U.S. government regulatory agencies are openly staffed with former oil and gas lobbyists, with investors and campaign donors. And these agencies work with industry to increase production, not to limit it to save the climate. What can be done?
Yeah, you know, the conflicts of interest across this administration remain a huge problem, whether it's the revolving door with energy companies, giving contracts to former employers, or having a former oil and coal lobbyist heading the Department of Interior and the Environmental Protection Agency. Earlier this year, we uncovered a massive conflict of interest within the Department of Interior. A senior advisor there at the time, Susan Combs, she was leading their effort to relocate the Bureau of Land Management, which is part of the Department of Interior. And we found that companies that were publicly supporting this relocation out of Washington, D.C., you know, they were publicly saying that this would eliminate red tape and, you know, decrease burden on them. And it turns out that Susan Combs also owns a ranch in Texas, and she's leasing out her land to the same oil and gas companies that were supporting her efforts to relocate the Bureau of Land Management. And that's just a massive conflict of interest. She's being paid by these companies who are supporting a very controversial move that she was spearheading. And we really need to improve conflicts of interest rules in this country to ensure officials work in the public interest, not in their own private interest or in corporate interest. And here, our futures really are at stake.
So do you think this little problem of our planned suicide with fossil fuels will become more important in the 2020 U.S. elections?
We certainly hope so. And, you know, this fall, we saw it gaining much more momentum. There were designated climate debates on CNN and MSNBC in collaboration with Georgetown University. And that was fantastic. Many groups, including us, were pushing for the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, to also hold a designated climate debate. And unfortunately, they did not vote for that resolution. But then, you know, these media companies and universities have taken up that fight, and they're hosting and these kinds of debates and also giving a platform for more attention to be focused on these issues. Voters across the board are increasingly concerned about this issue, and it will certainly continue to be an important issue ahead of the election.
And I wonder if America becomes the next Saudi Arabia, with Texas the decider in a lot of policy and national affairs, is that going to be a good thing even for America?
Well, so if the question is, will oil interests come to control U.S. politics? We see many instances of this in the current administration. It's already happening, and it's very alarming. We can only work to expose this and ensure that it does not get worse in the current political landscape that we find ourselves in. We need to continue to push to strengthen conflicts of interest laws and rules in this country and to curb the influence of money on our political decision-making. From our experience investigating oil corruption all around the world, we know the sad fate of countries that are completely captured by oil interests. And we, of course, do not want the United States to be the next one of those.
Julianne, tell us what Global Witness is and how we can follow your reports and investigations.
Global Witness is an international organization that has worked tirelessly to fight for a more just and sustainable planet. Our investigations expose corruption, human rights, and environmental abuses around the world. You can learn more about our work at www.globalwitness.org.
We have been speaking with Julianne Miranda Brobeck, U.S. Global Communications Manager for the international group Global Witness, and you can find their excellent reports and blogs at globalwitness.org. I've spent some time there. I will add a few links to my own show blog at ecoshock.org. You can look there for connections to this story. Julianne, thank you for bearing witness to this fossil fuel madness.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's been a great conversation, and we really appreciate all the reporting you do.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock. I have to disagree with one response from our guest, Julianne Miranda Brobeck. She said, "Our analysis assumes that current production over the next decade will not put us over the 1.5 degrees C warming." Technically, Julianne is not wrong, because that is what authorities like the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change are still saying. But I think there is no carbon budget left. We have already crossed 1.5 degrees warming in many parts of the world, and may have topped it globally once the shield of air pollution is cleaned up. I checked this point with Radio EcoShock guest David Spratt from Australia. David has several articles about this, and I will put those links in my show blog. You should check them out. David sent this quote from American scientist Michael Mann. "We have no carbon budget left for the 1.5 degree C target, and the opportunity for holding to 2 degrees C is rapidly fading unless the world starts cutting emissions hard right now." End quote from Michael Mann. Our previous guest, Yang-Yang Shu, also warned we would cross 1.5 degrees C by 2030, even with our current emissions, as countries like China succeed in cleaning up air pollution. The point is, we should have slashed greenhouse gas emissions a couple of decades ago, and we have no remaining burn permit if we want a safe planet. The Global Witness report, called "The U.S. is Set to Drown the World with Oil," was published last summer, so this activist group was way ahead of recent news. The United Nations just released their report in November called "The Production Gap." They say, quote, Governments are planning to produce about 50% more fossil fuels by 2030 than would be consistent with a 2 degrees C pathway and 120% more than would be consistent with a 1.5 degrees C pathway, end quote. Most countries that can produce fossil fuels plan to make a lot more of them. Canada wants to build more pipelines from their dirty tar sands. Russia is always busy in their exploration. Governments from the UK to Australia are funding their own coming disasters. Oh, Australia, you're burning yourself down. And everybody wants to drill in the Arctic. But we learn from Global Witness that the key is now in America. Their report reveals our fate may depend on new oil and gas coming from the United States over the next decade. If the fracking revolution is allowed to proceed in America alone, we are all toast. That is clear. While Global Witness did not study coal, the Reuters news agency reports China is still expanding coal burning and coal emissions, even while the rest of the world turns away from it. China has enough new coal power under construction to power the whole of France, and China has added another 42 gigawatts of coal power in just the last 18 months. So that hasn't gone away, and India still plans a major expansion of their coal dependency. And once they get going on these plants, they last for like 50, 60 years. As a result, the Global Carbon Project just reported emissions hit another record high this year. So we're still going up, still heading towards a climate shift that will test the survival of humanity and all species. Is that interesting? Is it as good as impeachment? Does it matter that we're all in serious, grave danger not seen since Hitler invaded Europe? This is no time to sink into false optimism. This is time to make major changes in our lives, our economy, our way of thinking, and our politics. This is the climate emergency. Stay tuned for more Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.